This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Shunning and Roshan. Now, we're running a poll on the BFM Twitter account this morning. That's at BFM Radio. Because the Prime Minister currently has the power to appoint people to key government positions, such as the chief of the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission. So we're asking you, should there be more public oversight with regards to this process? The options are yes, by Parliament, yes, by the public, no, it's too complicated, or no, I trust the Prime Minister. Let us know what you think. We'll be taking a look at the results of the poll throughout the morning. But in the meantime, we're also looking at the state of our government coffers today, because the Finance Minister, Lim Guan Eng, announced yesterday that the government has achieved its fiscal deficit target of 3.4% of GDP. In terms of tax collection, Lim Guan Eng said that in 2019, the government collected 28 billion ringgit in sales and service tax revenue, surpassing the target of 22 billion.
Still not the 44 billion that GST collected when it was around, but I guess better than expected there. Now, the finance minister said that that gap, the 8 billion gap there, it's better than the 10 billion gap they initially estimated back in 2019. That's just last year. This year, the government targets to collect 28 billion in SST revenue, though.
Yeah, but I think the question is there enough tax collection enforcement? Because as a percentage of our GDP, tax collection still remains very low. We're talking about maybe not more than 12% versus, let's say, a country like South Korea, where tax collection is 17% of GDP. So there is this need to broaden and widen the tax net. The other thing is the surprising data, but albeit slightly old data. So you're looking at 2016 numbers. Very few Malaysian corporates actually pay tax, less than 10%. So there is this, you know, back and forth debate whether GST, which of course has been scrapped and it's not likely to come back anytime soon, is a better form of tax collection, because there's no escaping GST.
Yeah, and you know, when you brought up that point about the tax net shining, a big part of this also includes income levels, right? Because when a majority of people are earning below the tax bracket, or just enough in the tax bracket, but the reliefs take them out of the bracket, how much wider can you cast the net unless you're going to go lower down the bracket, which then is not
which
exactly
you don't
a,
want to, because
which you don't want to do.
Yeah, because you already have people complaining about the cost of living, right?
Which is why GST, it's
a consumption-based tax.
It was a consumption-based tax.
But it also became very politically unpopular because of those cost of living concerns.
And also because of it looked like it was somewhat related at that point to 1MDB issues, right? That the government had a hole in
the timing
pocket.
Of it.
The timing was very bad. GST in general is a good tax. As we've discussed on the show, countries move to GST, to value added. No one goes to this tax and then reverses course.
Yeah, the GST model would have worked if the few things were done. One, I think the messaging was better. The second thing is it also should be followed by the cutting of income tax. It cannot be just taxation
exactly.
One way. It has to be reduction tax in the other way. So you don't feel the cost of living pressures technically if you are, let's say, currently paying tax, because you would have had your income tax bill reduced, relieving some income. I mean, you would have a little bit more to spend. That's the logic of it. And that's the model a lot of countries implemented. So for example, Singapore, when they had GST, they cut income tax. And that's ideally what should have happened, but it didn't. So you had like a double whammy effect. But going forward, I mean, the question is, should we be collecting more tax? Yes. Is the tax, is there perhaps, I dare say, tax evasion going on? There probably is.
Yeah, and that's what GST helped a lot with in terms of paper trails. Because when you had GST, if you wanted to collect your refunds, you needed all that documentation. And all that documentation allowed for the wider net. And essentially, it's harder to then say your income is at a certain level if your paperwork says something else.
Yeah, but the problem was also that people were not getting their tax refunds, right? So there were a lot of complaints from corporates, mm-hmm. businesses, that their tax refunds were being withheld. And we did know after Pakatan Harapan came into government, that was really the case. So I guess if you want to roll out a tax system, it has to be one cohesive. And unfortunately, GST was not done properly.
Yeah, so it has to be properly implemented and efficient, particularly particularly when you're dealing with people's money and the effect that it might have on a cost of living. But speaking of a cost of living, one of the other issues that the government has implemented was initially the petrol subsidy program, or the PSP, and that the subsequent decision to postpone that subsidy program could backfire, particularly if the US-Iran conflict becomes prolonged and we see crude oil prices soar. So the conventional understanding is that, of course, higher oil prices will raise the government's revenue, but there have been some reports saying the government may likely be hit by higher fuel subsidies in the event of a global oil price shock, thus straining its fiscal balance.
Yeah, this involves some maths here, guys, because, you know, if Brent oil rises to $70 a barrel from the current level, which, and this morning it is at $65 per barrel, but the point is that it has been volatile over this week, right? Because it hit $70 when Iran retaliated against US bases. But nonetheless, if it hits 70, this will add as much as 2.1 billion ringgit into our national coffers. So yes, good for us. But the point I think people don't realize is that the government will then have to fork out an additional subsidy payment of up to maybe 4.4 billion, higher than the current 2 billion fuel subsidy allocation budgeted for 2020. So net net, not actually good for us when oil prices rise too much.
Yeah, so based on that math, it looks like every dollar increase is about 420 million ringgit in revenue to the government. I mean, this is all back of the envelope math at this point. But this is the conundrum that we have, right? On one side, how do we raise revenue? On the other side, we have to balance cost of living. It's a tightrope.
Because at the end of the day, there is this also longer term government for discipline, a fiscal discipline target of an average of 2.8% in the longer term. Now, we have been struggling with this fiscal deficit for more than, I think, at least 5 to 6 years. And currently, like Lim Guan Eng has mentioned, we have hit our target of 3.4%. But bear in mind, actually, 2020, the target was 3%, but that goalpost was shifted to 3.2%. And things like this, don't help us achieving that 3.2% this year.
Indeed. Though also keeping to the theme of transport, there has been some other transport-related news this morning, specifically from Transport Minister Anthony Lok, who announced that as of yesterday, the government has saved 47 million ringgit in public funds through the My 100 Pass initiative. So the total fares paid by pass users was only 76 million ringgit compared to actual fares of 123 million. And from this, commuters essentially enjoyed about 100 million in savings in total.
Yeah, in total. Individually,
no.
We did not enjoy that 100 million ringgit each. But last year, let's take a look back. The government had allocated 240 million ringgit to introduce this My 100 Pass. And this was to encourage the use of public transport. You know, we have these MRT systems and buses, and how do we get people to use them? And it looks like last year, we had about 1.2 million passes sold to 110,000 consistent users per month. So good increase in uptake, but I think there's more that can be done here. And the ministry wants to increase that to 200,000 consistent pass users and buyers a month. And one of the strategies to do this is to market it to corporates, to companies, because a lot of these public transport systems are around office buildings.
Yeah, maybe one option instead of, and this might not be very popular, but, you know, a lot of corporates offer like subsidies for cars or as part of the employee benefit scheme. So instead of maybe a car subsidy, you get this free My 100 Pass as a benefit or in addition to existing benefits. So yes, it could fly. It could do really well, especially, and it would make a lot of sense if your company was really located next to the MRT or to an LRT. I mean, if it was very far away, it's not feasible, right?
I mean, if your office is in KL Central or KL itself or around Bandar Utama, these
near
are all
an MRT
feasible.
Station,
near
yeah.
an MRT
near the hubs,
or an LRT yeah. station with consistent feeder buses. I think always the problem is the feeder bus itself. But I mean, this is a way to get cars off the road, right? We want to encourage more people to use public transport. We have to make it, you want to build a habit, you got to make it easy for people to do. And then over time, hopefully that builds up to a much more consistent long-term habit.
Now, the Minister, Anthony Look, has said that the plan is to work with Prasarana to set up a marketing unit to help deal with these companies whose offices are close to public transport services. But speaking of Prasarana, earlier this week, it also announced that their CEO and President, Mohamed Hazlan Mohamed Hussein, has been suspended. So the Malaysian Insight reported this decision was due to public dissatisfaction over poor LRT services which Prasarana operates.
Now, Look has stressed that while the Ministry of Transport is aware of the suspension, this move was entirely the company's board's decision, and it is due to the fact that there were many complaints about the failure of poor services in public transport and airports.
Yes, so this is something that we will be also watching this morning and going into the next week or so. But right now we are heading into the 8 o'clock news. And after that, we'll be having the breakfast grill when Noel Lim speaks with Davis Chong, Group CEO of Solarvest Holdings. Be sure to stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.